tell them we on, son. Shh, you gotta be very, very quiet. Don't tell them we on over here. Salute to everybody that got the notifications for your boy. You know what I'm saying? We gonna talk about hip hop, man. How it destroyed our community. I got some crazy stuff to show y'all today. You know what I'm saying? We gonna go down the rabbit hole. Salute to everybody that subscribed. You know what I mean? Salute to the two live crew. If you was on the other live earlier, you know what I mean? Yeah, Billions 8K said, what up, man? Hope you good. Peace, man. Trey Quan, what's poppin', man? Kyoko in the building. Jay, what's poppin'? Yeah, man. We gonna talk about it. We definitely gonna talk about it, man. Salute to everybody in the building. You know what I mean? Let me just make sure that we got the notifications going on. I just want to make sure they sent it out real quick. Hold up, y'all. Hold up. Pardon self, y'all. Just give me a second. Bear with me. I got to make sure I'm live. No, I'm live, but I want to make sure it's doing the right thing. I bet. What's poppin', man? Marcus Senegal, what's the word? Imran, Zero Kazee, what's poppin', man? He said, caught the live on my lunch break. We here. Kaz McCarron just said, double up. So Jay said, two lives in a day? Fire. Yeah, let's talk about it, y'all. We just gonna chop it up. You know what I'm saying? I'ma read y'all comments, man. We gonna chop it up. I got some stuff to show y'all. Let me big this up on the screen real quick. Let's start here with this hip-hop stuff. Let's start here, man. Let's start here real quick. Are y'all on the screen? Let me make sure y'all on the screen. I don't see no comments showing up, but all right, let's get it though. Let me big y'all up real quick.
When I die, there'll be bullets and gun smoke. You don't like my lifestyle, fuck you. I'm rolling with the New Jack crew. And I'm a hustler.
That's what's called gangster rap. Hardcore, street-tough lyrics of Los Angeles-based groups like Ice-T and Niggas with Attitude, or N.W.A. Their angry style with its racial slurs, deliberately shocking lyrics, and brutal images of life in South Central L.A. have stirred controversy even as they have sent rap sales soaring. Ice-T's single Cop Killer even sparked a national protest. But cops were not the only objects of derision. Women were too. More controversy was sparked by the frequent use of words like bitch and whore. Still, gangster rap continued to sell. This song by Dr. Dre currently ranks among the top-selling albums. To its supporters, gangster rap is a form of social protest, a kind of street theater, the heartbeat of urban America. But to its critics, it is simply an attempt to manipulate racist stereotypes for profit, to sell records.
We strongly believe that it is our Christian, moral, and social responsibility to speak out against evil forces.
It is that opposition that is creating the first real backlash to the music, a backlash born in the same place that gave birth to rap, the black community. Recently, opponents of hardcore rap gathered at New York City's Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem to say, enough is enough.
It is not all right for our black male children to grow up and be drug dealers, gang bashers, or stick up.
You want to know what's so ironic? We've been taught, they've been saying this since 1993. The same message I tell y'all is like all of these rappers promote negativity to the younger generation. People been saying this for the longest. You know what I'm saying? And it still keeps going. Still keep going, yo.
Kids, but your negative lyrics and videos are telling them that it's all right.
Many of those who came to protest were primarily middle-class adults, educated working people, and parents who were insulted by the negative stereotypes of blacks portrayed in the rap lyrics.
But negative rap is a slap in our faces. It lets everybody know to a certain extent that we as black people must have low self-esteem, no respect for ourselves or anyone else, and we just don't care who we hurt as long as we're making the dollar.
I've had to endure that ugly N-word for some 400 years now, and enough is enough. Black women have been the objects of too much violence. They've been the objects of too much abuse and too much misuse, and enough is enough.
The protest was organized by Abyssinian Baptist pastor Reverend Calvin Butts. Reverend Butts argues that he is not against all rap, just that which denigrates blacks through words and images. That rap, he says, casts a shadow on all blacks.
Yeah, Silent G, Silent LG said, that's so it can be installed in our DNA. So you had, like I spoke about this before, back in the 70s, right, before hip hop was even a thing. You had things like blaxploitation, movies like Dolomite, Superfly. What was all of the movies that showcased negativity towards the black community? You know what I'm saying? They started with movies and all of that stuff first. But it was also in the music too. You know what I'm saying? It was also in the music too back in the day. But, you know, like, so much of, like, rhythm and blues was popular. It wasn't until hip-hop came that they tried to use the same technology on us today. Like, it's crazy, man.
This is not a place, as one young woman stood up and said once, where I hear people being called bitches and whores around every corner and MFs. It's not. It's not like that in Oakland. It's not like that in L.A. There is some of it, but the world must not understand that that is who we are. We are not that.
We will not stand for the vile, ugly, low, grime, abusive, Amen. And rough music.
Until now, most blacks in leadership positions have refrained from criticizing such a popular form of black expression and protest. When Reverend Butts finally spoke out, it was clear outside the church that he had struck a nerve.
Program the women. Now some of the women even call themselves bitches. I'm a bad bitch. Ain't that crazy? To refer yourself to a female dog? That's crazy. That is crazy, son. People like Lil' Kim pushed that whole narrative. Then they had Queen Latifah come out. Who you in the ITY? Who you calling a bitch? They shut that down real quick.
The streets of Harlem came alive with debate in a way not heard since the protest era of the 60s.
You all can do better. And you ought to do better.
That goes for everybody. That goes for everybody.
We are embracing white culture.
You all are not talking to one another. You're talking past each
other. No minds were changed, but the issue was now out in the open, and people were debating it as never before.
Can we make calling women good, I'm a good woman, can we make that popular? Let's make that popular. Instead of you saying you a baddie or a bad bitch, can you say I'm a good woman? Let's make that popular, y'all, please. Can we do that? Can we change this narrative? You know what I'm saying? I just want to know.
I'm here because I'm outraged at the denigration of black women. And as a father, and as a son, my mother, my sisters, our wives, our girlfriends have been denigrated, and these are against the values of our community.
Others argue that if Reverend Butts was going after anyone, it should have been the record companies themselves, that negative rappers were merely telling it like it is.
We know what's right. We know what's wrong. And music is not the killer. It's not the ill. The ill is the streets that we are forced to live like rats on. The ill is the projects we are forced to live in.
We're coming from our community. We are not talking bad things like bang, bang, shoot them up because we want to. This is what we live. I would love to talk about blue skies and apple pies, but I can't. That's not where I live. I live here where I see babies having babies. I see pregnant mothers using drugs. And this is what I talk about.
Only a few blocks away, in a very different atmosphere, teenagers were also talking about rap music.
Come one, come all, except the Haitians with the hips. Though you're sailing for your life, the question is who really gives up.
This is a rap workshop at New York's Riverside Church. Here, another minister, the Reverend Mariah Britton, is taking a different approach, trying to use rap as a positive force to develop the writing talents of these teenagers. These young men and women don't use obscene language or condone violence in their own...
And they never gonna blow up. They never gonna blow up. Salute T was popping. You know what I'm saying? The music business doesn't make money off of that type of stuff, unfortunately. You know what I'm saying? They don't make money off of that because it all goes down into the whole prison system and incorporation of, you know, making money off of drug sales, drug deals, people going to jail, crime and violence. If you listening to a NWA album, and NWA is telling you to go out there and shoot somebody, guess who reaps the benefits from that? the police, okay? When they arrest your behind after you kill somebody, they make money. Who else makes money? The prison system, the judge, the lawyers, the district attorney. So when you hearing these lyrics, yeah, it sound good, but it's all a scheme. It's like, yo, the devil got us tricked, man.
Lyrics, but they echoed the arguments of many of those who defended rap during Reverend Butts' protests.
I think, like, the language used by rappers just pretty much reflects how people feel in life. So you're pretty much just saying whatever comes to mind and how you feel. And if you feel like cursing because of the situation you see, that just happens.
Like Jay said, it's just a reflection of the times. This is harsh times now. So there's going to be a harsh music. So if you don't understand it, you know, you're not really understanding what today is all about.
For these aspiring rappers, the negative messages in some songs are no worse than in other entertainment media.
But what about your integrity? What about what you stand for as a human being? Are you swayed more by the desire to make money and to sell the records? Or are you led by your sense of integrity?
Bottom line is entertainment. In the same way, you have to, like, that'd be like asking an actor or like asking Sylvester Stallone, well, how do you really feel about the way you're portraying people in Vietnam as just, you know, bloodthirsty killers and going around shooting people? You probably wouldn't have a second thought about that because, you know, he doesn't really, you know, probably know the first thing about Vietnam.
Despite the gentle coaxing of Reverend Britton, these young people were reluctant to admit there was anything wrong with hardcore rap. Mike Abbott, an independent record promoter who was invited to speak to the students, says as long as that attitude prevails, negative rap will continue to sell.
Record companies have been guilty in putting out too much of the negative rap. But, you know, those decisions are based on what they feel will sell in the marketplace. It's a catch-22. If you put out garbage and the customer responds to garbage, you keep putting it out.
It's been suggested that what appeals to both black and white teenagers is hardcore rap's anti-establishment, anti-authoritarian messages. But some psychologists suggest that the appeal for white males, the group that buys the most CDs, goes beyond teenage rebelliousness. They argue that the appeal to that group stems from the validation of their worst stereotypes about black people. For the congregation of Abyssinian Baptist Church, that notion fuels much of the drive against gangster rap. Abyssinian Baptist Church has been involved in the black struggle for equality for decades. Upstairs, the Adam Clayton Powell Room pays tribute to the church's former minister turned congressman. Old press clippings chronicle important civil rights victories. Here, the street language used by many rappers evokes images through words that civil rights protesters like Adam Clayton Powell fought to bury.
I understand anger, I understand frustration, but brother, if your back is burdened by the whip of white racism and you're taking it out on the black woman, then your anger and your frustration, though it may be legitimate, it is misguided and misdirected.
Reverend Butts hopes that protests like these and the media coverage they generate will eventually make an impression on the rappers and cause them to change their negative vocabulary.
Ain't that crazy? Ice-T did a song called Cop Killer, now he plays as a cop on the TV show. See what I'm saying? This is why I be talking about a lot of these rappers be a part of the CIA, man. You know what I mean? If somebody is a part of the CIA, their job is to destruct the community, just like COINTELPRO, destruct the community, and then later on down the line, play the good guy. Balance it out. Lacey Lavender said, music isn't a reflection of life. Life has become a reflection of the music. That's a fact. That is true. That is true, man. You don't realize so many songs that we listen to on a daily basis has influence over us. And people nowadays want to live out what Sexy Red is doing or Nicki Minaj is doing. Look at this, people doing all of them challenges, that Nicki Minaj challenge, all whole time. You giving praise to a Hindu god. You crossing your legs sitting like that, giving praise to a Hindu god, Ganesh. See what I'm saying? Because people are followers.
We're not saying that they can't make it. They have every right in the world to make it. What we're saying is that we hope to create a climate in our community that we believe once existed, where this kind of thing is so intolerable that people would dare not suggest that a black woman is a bitch or any woman is a female dog.
Since Reverend Butts launched his protest this summer, many other spiritual leaders have followed in Detroit, Dallas.
See, now here's the thing, right? I want to say this before I end this. They didn't even, back then, you had people standing up protesting against this stuff. Nowadays, you don't see none of that. You see people going to the concerts. They going to get the tickets. But you fighting a bigger war here. This is the music industry these people are going against. And back then, you know what all of this did? It just drove more people towards hip hop. Well, if my grandparents and my mother think it's bad, maybe it's good. Let me hear what's so bad about it. Crazy, yo.
And Los Angeles, all challenging, not rap, but negative lyrics. A New York appearance by Los Angeles rapper Dr. Dre has reportedly been indefinitely postponed. It remains to be seen whether Dr. Dre, the other hardcore rappers, and their record companies will in fact hear the protest and change their tune.
Crazy, right? Let me show y'all this real quick. Since we are on the topic, let me show y'all this.
Cube went on a podcast and dropped a bombshell that no one was expecting.
Okay, let's take rap music.
Let's take it.
Same people who own the labels own the prisons. So,
literally the same people?
Literally the same people.
When a hip-hop legend who's been in the game for over three decades, when someone who helped create the very culture we're talking about, when Ice Cube himself drops knowledge like that, you better stop what you're doing and listen. Because what he revealed wasn't some wild conspiracy theory cooked up by internet trolls. This was coming from a man who'd been behind the scenes, who'd seen the machine work, who'd lived this industry from the inside out.
Literally the same people who own the labels own private prisons.
And you know what they did? He just put out a movie on his own, right? And they made sure that that movie didn't get no promotion. He just did a movie, I think, called War of the Worlds, and people was clowning him because it got bad reviews. But you see, when you go against the grain, they make sure they cut off all ties. Ice Cube, you know, don't get me wrong, he played in that nonsense. You know what I'm saying? He played in that nonsense and all of that, but when he started speaking out about, you know, how a lot of these corporations was doing people wrong and all of that, you know, he started the Big Three League and all of that stuff. They was like, we ain't going to knock you off of here, but we going to turn your lights out. You know what I'm saying? Slowly and surely, you stop seeing Barbershop being played on streaming platforms. They took the Barbershop movies down. Are we there yet? You know what I'm saying? It's crazy, son. You got to play the game. So if you start talking about stuff like this, they will shut you down. They ain't going to get rid of you now, but they will shut you down. So we can't get Ice Cube because he don't drink or smoke. You know what I'm saying? He's married, so we can't throw no women on him. We just turn off his sources. we won't put Friday on Netflix no more. We just take off the Barbershop. It's crazy, son.
So, you know, it seems really kind of suspicious, if you want to say that word, that, you know, the records that come out are really geared to push people towards that prison industry. This to me is in somewhat some social engineering going on here to make sure those prisons stay full. Now,
those words should have terrified every black person in America. They didn't force you to rap about murder and drugs. They just made sure those were the only songs that saw the light of day. And Ice Cube wasn't alone. Dame Dash, co-founder of Rockefeller Records, the man who helped build Jay-Z's empire, he heard Cube's words and said,
"It's true. It's obvious."
These are the architects of hip-hop culture telling us we'd been played, Ice Cube calls it social engineering, a deliberate plan to make sure the prison stayed full, to make sure young black men kept walking into those cells like lambs to the slaughter, and the weapon they used against us, our own music and culture. Today, we're going to expose exactly how America took the most powerful black art form of the last 50 years and turned it into a recruitment tool for the prison system.
See?
How they stole our respectability, our dignity, and our future. Because if Ice Cube was right, and all the evidence suggests he was, then every violent rap song, every video glorifying prison culture, every lyric about selling drugs and rivals, it had all been part of a master plan to destroy black lives in America.
Let's be clear, not only black lives, all lives. You get what I'm saying? Because now you have Caucasian rappers that's rapping about spinning the block and all of that. They bigging up the Caucasian rappers bigger than the black ones now. So now you got to realize that this industry don't have no color gender. Yeah, okay, the Latinos and the blacks is easy to get. We could get them easier. But now let's do the suburban kids too. Got them all strung out on all kind of substances where they nodding off. You know what I'm saying? People like Eminem push that crap. You know what I mean?
But Ice Cube's revelation in 2023 wasn't the first time someone tried to blow the whistle on this conspiracy. 11 years earlier, something happened that sent shockwaves through the hip-hop community. On April 24th, 2012, at exactly 1:30 p.m., someone using an anonymous Gmail account under the fake alias John Smith would send an email that would change everything. According to this letter, sometime in the early 1990s, this person had been invited to a closed-door meeting at a private residence on the outskirts of Los Angeles. He described himself as a decision-maker with one of the more established companies in the music industry. The meeting had about 25 to 30 people, mostly familiar faces from the music business, but there was also a small group of unfamiliar faces, men in suits who stayed to themselves and made no attempt to socialize with anyone else.
Illuminati. The Illuminati.
One of these suited men stood up and made an announcement that left the room stunned. He told them that the companies they worked for in the music industry had been building privately owned prisons. Since these prisons were government funded, the more prisoners they housed, the more money they made. And here's where it gets truly sinister.
Jahan Tyler said hip-hop didn't destroy anything. Well, I mean, if you can't relate, then I don't know. I told y'all this story before. I thought that hearing, you know, a lot of those 90s rappers when they was like a line, I tell y'all a line that always stuck in my head. What was it? I think Sheik Looch said it on the Lox album. He was like, in ninth grade, I ain't go to high school. I went to school high. And I'm like, you know, that kind of stuck with me at that young age. I'm like, well, I'm going to skip school too. If he made it, he rapping about it. He's a rapper. I'm trying to get where he at. So that was influence. You know what I'm saying? Biggie talking about he dropped out and all of these rappers talking about they, like it was all programming. A lot of those rappers talked about dropping out of school. You know what I'm saying? They made it cool to be dumb. So yeah, in your situation, you may say hip hop didn't destroy anything, but there were a lot of people that may have been influenced by hip hop. You know what I'm saying?
Their job as music industry executives was to market music that promoted criminal behavior.
Yeah.
Rap music was specifically chosen as the weapon of choice. The letter soon spread across the internet like wildfire. Hip hop blogs picked it up. Social media exploded with theories. But here's the thing, whether this specific meeting happened exactly as described or not, the pattern it revealed was undeniable. And most importantly, other industry insiders started coming forward with their own stories that backed up the letter's claims. Now, before you dismiss this as some far-fetched conspiracy theory, let me tell you something that might change your mind. The United States government has actually used music to manipulate and control people before, multiple times, and we have the receipts. Between 2009 and 2012, the United States Agency for International Development, USAID, launched a secret operation to use Cuban hip-hop artists to undermine President Raul Castro's government. USAID started recruiting Cuban musicians for what they disguised as cultural initiatives. But their real goal was to boost these rappers' visibility and create a fan movement that would challenge the Cuban government. They even paid $155,000 to underwrite an arts and music festival. But the festival wasn't about celebrating culture. It was about psychological warfare. Their secret mission was to seed the minds of festival organizers with new ideas and get them to send high-impact messages to audiences that would turn them against their own government. Of course, USAID wasn't dumb enough to do this directly. They used contractors and shell companies to hide their involvement. But when the Cuban government figured out what was happening, the whole operation fell apart. And let me remind you guys, this was official U.S. government policy, using hip-hop as a tool of war. But Cuba was just the beginning. As it turns out, the CIA has been using music for decades to achieve their political goals. They funded a Russian composer named Nicholas Nabokov to mount exhibitions and stage concerts across Europe, all designed to combat the appeal of communism. They hired multiple artists to fight communism through their songs. Mm-hmm. The CIA also got their hands deep into jazz music. They sponsored Louis Armstrong's tours in Europe and Africa, turning America's greatest black musicians into unwitting ambassadors for American foreign policy. Dizzy Gillespie joined the first State Department organized tour in 1956. Dave Brubeck went on a 12-concert tour of the USSR in 1985. So if they were willing to use Cuban hip-hop to try to topple Castro's government, and if they used jazz legends like Louis Armstrong as tools of foreign policy, if they spent decades and millions of dollars manipulating music to achieve political goals, then tell me, what makes you think they wouldn't use hip-hop to achieve their domestic goals?
Yeah. Yeah, you still there, my mans? Talking about hip-hop. Hip-hop didn't destroy anything. Kyoko said, no, not the jazz music. See what I'm saying? It's like that all of this stuff, there's no coincidence that all of this stuff is happening. You know what I'm saying? It's no coincidence, man. Yeah, Kazmik Carrington said, yup, while Jada was a brilliant student, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. Like, you could deter the youth because you have influence. If it sounds believable, if a rapper is rapping, right, and they sound believable enough, these children will fall for it. You know what I'm saying? They will go right along with it. Jay Falconer, what's poppin'? She said, exactly, to mess up not only the black community, but also the Latin communities, especially the Puerto Ricans, so that nobody gets to have a chance at all. This is what I'm saying. It's like you using music to control the masses. He is deep, man.
What makes you think they draw the line at using our own culture against us? The precedent was already set. The playbook was already written. All they had to do was turn it inward. But the government's manipulation of music wasn't just about foreign policy. They had been targeting black artists specifically for decades, long before hip-hop was even born. And once you understand this history, Ice Cube's claims start to make a lot more sense. The FBI's COINTELPRO program, which we've covered extensively in our videos on the Black Panther Party, didn't just target political activists. They also systematically surveilled black musicians who they saw as threats to the status quo. They investigated jazz pianist Nat King Cole, monitoring his performances and personal associations. Hell, they followed Jim.
And then you realize Nat King Cole was a Freemason. Maybe they got to him and was like, you gonna get down with us. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy, son.
Me Hendrix so closely that the FBI compiled detailed reports on his drug use, his relationships, and his political statements. You see, the government understood something that many people still don't. Black musicians had always been more than entertainers. They were cultural leaders who could shape public opinion and inspire social movements. And according to white America, that made them dangerous. So when hip-hop emerged in the late 1970s and 1980s, this surveillance intensified dramatically. In 1989, after NWA released the Police, the FBI did something unprecedented. They sent an official letter to NWA's record label, Priority Records, expressing their displeasure with the song. Think about that. The federal
Most Hated Bronze Flat Power said they used to say on those sitcoms, you're going to drop out and be a rapper or a drug dealer. Man, look.
The federal government was so threatened by a rap song that they felt the need to officially respond. Of course, they didn't stop with NWA. The FBI launched thorough investigations into Tupac Shakur, tracking his movements, monitoring his associates, building cases against him. They did the same thing to Biggie, Wu-Tang, and countless of other artists. By the early 2000s, this surveillance had become so systematic that it earned a name, the Hip Hop Police.
So now when you sign a record deal, the minute you sign a record deal, the government is watching you. They watching, they taking pictures, everything. Just like I said to y'all, how do they always seem to get footage of somebody right before they die? Every single time, they always happen to get footage of somebody right before they die.
The NYPD created secret dossiers on rappers, tracking who they associated with, what cars they drove, what clubs they went to.
See?
Detective Derek Parker, who helped create these files, later admitted they would pressure venues to cancel rap concerts and shows. Think about what that means. The police were violating rappers' First Amendment rights, shutting down their ability to perform and make money, all because they didn't like the content of their music. And this targeting continues today. In 2019, the NYPD sent a letter to Rolling Loud festival organizers listing five rappers, including Casanova, and warning that if these artists performed, there would be a higher risk of violence. Today, instead of targeting political activists, they use more subtle methods to control the black public image. Now let's follow the money, because that's where this conspiracy gets really interesting. If Ice Cube was right about the same people owning record labels and prisons, then we should be able to trace those connections. And guess what? We can. The three major record labels that dominated hip-hop for decades were Warner Records, Sony Music Group, and Universal Music Group. These companies controlled what music got promoted, what artists got signed, and what messages reached the masses.
See?
On the other side, you have the two largest private prison companies in America, CoreCivic and GEO Group.
Whoa.
These corporations own more private prisons than anyone else in the country, and they've built their entire business model around keeping those facilities packed with inmates. BlackRock and Vanguard, two of the world's largest investment management firms, were among the biggest shareholders. At the same time, these exact same companies held major positions in the record labels. Now here's what made this especially suspicious. Private prisons operate on a simple business model. The more prisoners they house, the more money they make from government contracts. In fact, many of these private prison contracts included something called occupancy guarantees, requirements that the prisons maintain at least 90% full.
Jay Falconer said, Roc Nation. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. That whole prison reform stuff is a cover-up because people are still getting incarcerated. Let's talk about it.
At all times. Think about what that means. If the prison population dropped too low, they'd lose money. They had a financial incentive to make sure people kept getting arrested and sentenced to long prison terms. Now, some people tried to debunk this by saying that BlackRock and Vanguard were just investment management companies. They didn't actually own these businesses. They just managed other people's money invested in them. But here's the thing. When you manage trillions of dollars in investments, when you're one of the largest shareholders in dozens of major corporations, you have influence. You have a voice in boardroom decisions. You have the power to shape corporate strategy. And if you're making money from both sides of the equation, from the music that creates criminals and from the prisons that house those criminals, then you have every incentive to make sure that cycle continues. In the 1960s, when Black America was fighting for civil rights, our leaders looked like Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X. These were Black men in suits, fighting for freedom with dignity and intelligence.
Jay said the word secular comes from a Jewish man called Sabbatai Zevi. He's the one that influenced all this back in 1666. Secular music. I want to look up what the word secular means, but I want to let this finish.
They commanded respect through excellence. They spoke with purpose and power. When white America looked at them, they had to acknowledge our humanity, our intelligence, our right to equality. Fast forward to the 1990s and 2000s, and something had fundamentally changed. Hip-hop had flipped the script entirely. Instead of promoting dignity, it started glorifying criminality. Instead of, I have a dream, I got 99 problems. Instead of fighting the system, we started celebrating being trapped in it. Black men went from wearing suits and demanding respect to wearing chains and glorifying prison culture. And somehow, we were convinced this was keeping it real. But here's what keeping it real actually meant. It meant accepting the worst stereotypes about ourselves and making them our identity. It meant choosing trap houses over college classrooms. It meant glorifying baby mama drama over building stable families. It meant making violence and criminality seem cool to our children. Now, let's be clear about something important. We have plenty of stable, thriving black families in America. For every broke...
Yo, Tone Deaf said, makes me think about a couple rappers who have their whole personas based around getting high and driving around in different cars. But I've never heard about them caught up with the police. See what I'm saying? Because how can you talk about, like I said this to y'all a couple weeks ago, right? NBA Youngboy is one of the, he's like the Lil Wayne of the newer generation when it comes to rappers. This man is so popular, it's unbelievable. It's like he makes money just crying on the mic. But apparently, he can rap in his songs and say, yeah, I killed this one, I killed that one. He can have all of these firearms in his house. All of these firearms get caught with all these guns and stuff in his crib and be let go. Simply just let go. Like, yeah, we're going to drop the charges on. You got all kind of machine guns in your house and all kind of assault rifles. If that was you or I, we would still be in jail. And I don't want to hear that, oh, you know, you got to have the right lawyers and all of that. Man, listen, man, these people is down with that crap, son. They down with them people. They are down with them people, yo.
In home, there are countless black families that are doing well. Fathers present, mothers strong, children excelling in school and life. Black excellence exists in every community across this country. But here's the problem. Those families don't get the spotlight. The media machine, the same machine that profits from our dysfunction, doesn't want to show you the black family that stays together, builds wealth, and raises successful children. They don't want to show you the black father who coaches Little League and helps with homework every night. They don't want to show you the black mother who's running her own business while raising honor roll students. Why? Because positive images don't sell the narrative they need. They can't justify mass incarceration if they show you black families that are thriving. They can't maintain the stereotype of black pathology if they highlight black success stories. We've got more videos coming that dive deep into the systematic destruction of black communities. From COINTELPRO's war on the Black Panthers, to the Tuskegee experiments, to the crack epidemic that destroyed a generation. You should check out our video on Fred Hampton, the man that terrified the FBI. Peace.
Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. I'm not even surprised these days, man. I'm really not, man. Big Sur said, that's why they canceled the Bernie Mac show. Yeah. And now, you know, what's so crazy is, you know, those the TV shows that they do show us is always promoting negativity, you know, violence, selling drugs, always something. They can't go, like, they can't make a show where it's just like positivity. Maybe they think that that's not going to be interesting to us, but they can't show that to us. You know what I'm saying? He said, Big Sur said, also why they cancel Good Times. Yeah, but then you got to think too, you can still watch these shows on streaming platforms, but like the whole concept of like showing us something positive is gone. Now I want to show y'all this. We're going to steer from that topic. Salute to, make sure y'all go subscribe to Minutes of Horror, y'all. Now this is crazy too. This is, we're going to go down a rabbit hole real quick. I'm going to speed it up. because it's about 27 minutes, but this is even more crazy. Watch this. Watch this, y'all.
Be looking at some disturbing videos, strange and odd news stories, and as always, let's go ahead and get right into today's video. Now, there are a few things I do want to go ahead and talk about in today's video. For example, it seems...
Yeah, Maya Yashirala said LGBT in there always. That's another thing. You got to understand. Like I said this before, if you over the age of 25, they not trying to influence you. It's when you sitting there, you young, you watching these TV shows, and they know that it's all programming. You know what I'm saying? You can't even watch a TV show with your kids no more because they gonna show something freaky. You know what I'm saying? Something freaky. Then they tell you, well, this is not suitable for kids. You shouldn't be showing them this anyway. Well, what in the world? Thank you, BP, man. Where my man BP at? Hold up. Let me shout my man BP out, man. Thank you, man. He said, keep up the great works. I appreciate you, bro. Thank you, man. I appreciate you. Yeah, Kaz McCarron just said they need the jails filled. It's crazy, man. Queen Lolita, what's poppin', love? Kyoko said, take your time. We need all the info. As always, man. You know what I'm saying? Coco Meese, what's poppin'? She said the last positive black family we had was the Clumps. Yo, that's crazy. Wait, let me just make sure. Yeah, well... Nah, I would say Bernie Mac, like Big Sur said, Bernie Mac was like Bernie Mac. But then even like Tyler Perry with the House of Pain. Didn't one of the people on that show, she was a drug addict, and you know what I'm saying? He was raising the kids on his own. It's a bunch of nonsense, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? They don't show us nothing positive. You know what I mean? I never watched that show Blackish, but I think maybe that was one with Tracee Ellis Ross. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But she wild for that. She talk about the Clumps. The Clumps was the last positive. Yo, it's crazy, man. Sometimes I be having to watch them old nostalgic shows, man. Like, I like all them old TV shows. If I can stream it, I'll watch them old shows. I'm not watching none of this new stuff. You know what I'm saying? As soon as you turn it on, you get that negative feeling like this, something is wrong. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Like, we're coming up on another ritualistic day, something like the April 8th solar eclipse. But before we go ahead and talk about that stuff, really quick, I do want to go ahead and talk about what's currently taking place at the Grand Canyon. Now, for those that are aware, I have made a few videos on this topic, this massive wildfire with this very unique name,
what?
The Dragon Bravos Fire. This supposed wildfire is really ravaging the Grand Canyon, and supposedly, what? It all started with a lightning strike on July 4th.
That's crazy. I was going to take a trip to the Grand Canyon before the year went out, son. That's something I always wanted to see, was like the Grand Canyon. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted to see that. I'm like, yo, I'm going to take a trip out there before the year's out. And now they trying to destroy that.
Firefighters, they go out there, they're battling the fires. They were able to contain it, yet for whatever reason, this thing exploded. And now there's pretty much 0% containment, and they cannot control this fire. It has now gone to the point where it's no longer considered a wildfire, but now considered a mega fire.
What?
And not just that, the Dragon's Bravo fire is creating its own weather. I mean, have you ever heard anything like this before, especially when it comes to the Grand Canyon? But reading this article from CBS News, which was published August 1st, Grand Canyon, Utah wildfires creating fire clouds that can form their own weather systems. What is even more interesting is that every time the firefighters believe they are increasing the containment on the Dragon's Bravo fire, these massive clouds come along and basically fuel the flames. Continue to read the article, it says, towering convection clouds, known as pyrocumulus clouds, basically fire clouds, have been spotted over Arizona's blaze for 7 consecutive days, fueling the fire with dry, powerful winds, Fire Information Officer Lisa Jennings said. She also says there's another cloud out there called the pyrocumulonimbus cloud. You don't know how many takes I had to do to actually say that correctly, if I even did. But she said that this specific cloud sent out rapid winds shooting in all directions this week as a smoke column formed from the Utah fire, then it collapsed.
See, and then we talk about distractions, but why isn't this getting headline news? You get what I'm saying? Why isn't stuff like this getting headline news? This is what I'm talking about. Mind you, they got a few people that live out there by the Grand Canyon and all that stuff, but it's not like a city area. You know what I mean?
It's on itself. This is crazy, and this does not sound like something that was created solely by nature. But the article goes on to say multiple fire crews in Utah were forced to retreat Wednesday as the unpredictable weather created by the clouds threatened their safety. Fire crews in both Utah and Arizona had better control of the blazes, but like I said, containment had been slipping as the fire grows rapidly. Mm. Because again, as they're getting closer to containment, these clouds are making it much worse. What? But get this, the article goes on to say the same type of cloud, which the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, has dubbed the fire-breathing dragon of clouds, recently formed a fire tornado that tore through an eastern Utah neighborhood with wind speeds estimated at 122 miles per hour. And what is up with them using the word dragon? I mean, I get it, fire, dragon, but you really don't think of dragons when you think of the Grand Canyon, but dragon, bravo, it sounds military. This does not sound natural whatsoever. The tribes, the animals inside the Grand Canyon, they're being wiped out. And not just that, the mystery inside the Grand Canyon itself, the artifacts are all being destroyed. And on top of all
the so it is people that live there, the Hopis,
On top of all this, I guess it'll be
the Hopis.
Be much easier for them to now canyon. They're being wiped.
Hold on, this says the Hopis are one of the oldest living cultures in documented history, with a past stretching back thousands of years. The Hopi traced their ancestry to the ancient Pueblo and basket makers. Basket maker cultures, which built many stone structures and left many artifacts at the Grand Canyon and across the Southwest. So they getting rid of these people, son. That's crazy, son.
Out, and not just that, the mystery inside the Grand Canyon itself, the artifacts are all being destroyed. And on top of all this,
Eternal said, Jay, look into the pyramids in the Grand Canyon. I got you. Most definitely.
I guess it'll be much easier for them to now go ahead and mine that uranium, which exists in abundance inside the Grand Canyon. On a side note, when it comes to the next location to face a very suspicious quote-unquote natural disaster, I'm going to go ahead and roll the dice and say, keep New Mexico in mind. Reading this article, which was published by Source NM on August 1st, it's titled, Anti-Uranium Exhibit Opening Friday in Santa Fe Seeks to Decolonize Maps. The article goes on to say, as President Donald Trump and multinational corporations push to dig the first new uranium mines in New Mexico in more than 50 years, Shayla Blatchford's exhibit opening today in Santa Fe seeks to equip people, mostly indigenous people, with the tools to fight back. So basically, in a nutshell, the federal government has recently prioritized several uranium mines. The only problem happens to be is that these mines are located where the Navajo Nation currently resides. These people will have to move from their ancestral lands, and if they don't, nature will force their hand and make them move, just like we saw nature made people move in North Carolina, Hawaii, and so forth. So again, like I said, just keep a lookout for New Mexico. Not only does Santa Fe hold the uranium mines that the government wants, but also is the fact that Santa Fe is actively working towards becoming a smart city with a focus on sustainability and waste management. So that is double the motivation for weather to come along and basically sweep these people off the map. And if you're not convinced yet that something may happen in Santa Fe along the lines of a weather event, take a look at these news articles here, like this article from Newsweek that was published on March 23rd, 2025. A home insurance storm is brewing in this state. The article goes on to say, a potential property insurance crisis looms over New Mexico, a wildfire-prone state where more than one in five homeowners don't have insurance coverage, according to recent reports, and non-renewables are becoming more common in most vulnerable areas. And not just that, but these insurance companies are also dropping people, something like what we saw with other states like California, I believe it was also North Carolina and others that had wildfires not too shortly after. What? The article even mentions the LA fires by saying, the recent wildfires in Los Angeles County, California, have proven how difficult it can be for uninsured homeowners to recover from such devastating extreme weather event. Should a catastrophic natural disaster hit New Mexico, many homeowners stand to lose everything.
So what they doing is, if you got homeowners insurance, they're dropping you off the homeowners insurance or just simply not renewing it and literally taking people's property, forcing them to move. And now, like somebody told me in the chat, FEMA is no longer around. So where are these people going? Where are these people going? Hopefully they got money saved up that they could go get an apartment or something, but that's crazy, son. So you literally put your life on the line and work hard for whatever you got, and these people could just literally just burn it down? No questions asked? Like, that's demonic to me, man. That is crazy, man. Yeah, Baby Alive said, these people never sleep, yo. Yo, man.
Now, homeowners insurance companies are adjusting their practices, which includes dropping policies in areas identified as high risk for wildfire in an effort to manage their overall risk. This has affected homeowners in the greater Santa Fe fireshed, making it more challenging and expensive to find suitable coverage. There are also other locations in Santa Fe where coverage is being dropped as well. So like I said, just keep Santa Fe or New Mexico as a whole in mind. In other news, in the beginning of this video,
Rogue said, here's your check, now get the F out of here. Yo, listen, man. You got to think about this, man. How is this even fair to people? Like, and then we ain't going to talk about fairness in America. Matter of fact, in the world in general, because ain't no such thing as fairness. You know what I'm saying? The crooked is over. Like, they run all of this stuff. You know what I'm saying? The crooked runs everything. Meanwhile, the good people suffer. So we ain't gonna talk about fairness, but this is wild.
I said that it seems like we might be coming up on another ritualistic day, something along the lines of the April 8th solar eclipse. Now, I have seen a lot of people on social media and news articles heavily talking about this 2025 August 8th Lionsgate portal, which is basically a zodiac cosmic event that happens every year, but for whatever reason, 2025 will be the most transformative. So I was like, whatever, I'm not going to go ahead and talk about it. Apparently, it's something that happens every year. I mean, I personally never heard of this before, but I guess it is a known event. But reading this article right here, it goes on to say, in 2025, the Lionsgate portal peaking on August 8th promises heightened energy for manifestation and spiritual growth across all zodiac signs. This astrological event offers opportunities for new beginnings, personal empowerment, and significant shifts in destiny. Each sign can harness this potent energy to rewrite their story and achieve their aspirations through focused intentions and rituals. Every August, a cosmic event captures the attention of spiritual seekers and astrology lovers around the world, the Lionsgate portal, but in 2025, the energy is predicted to be especially strong. And
so tomorrow, y'all, protect y'all energy. Tomorrow is August 8th. Protect your energy. You know what I'm saying? Protect your energy. Whether you're going to work, whatever, just protect your energy tomorrow. Try not to argue with people, whatever, you know, avoid any kind of conflict or whatever, because it's going to be a lot of nonsense going on. A lot of nonsense going on tomorrow.
Transformative with the Lionsgate portal peaking on August 8th, 8/8. Now, I'm not a numerology person. I don't do things by the numbers. I'm not a gematria person, but there are exceptions, like when it comes with the number 33, because we know the number 33 is also attached to a very ritualistic organization. Mm-hmm. You have some people out there saying that the frequency that the number 33 appears in these news stories is just a coincidence, with one person telling me, well, it took me 33 minutes to take a dump. Does that make me a Mason? Or I had another person tell me, well, I caught my neighbor on Ring camera visiting my wife 33 times when I was at work. Does that make him a Mason? Like, those are personal problems.
Right. Mind you, these are all Masons that's leaving these comments. That's what he got to understand. You know what I'm saying? When you right, you right. But when you wrong, you wrong. And a lot of people that's involved in Masons and all of that stuff, they don't like you talking about their little group. They don't like that. You know what I'm saying? They get really butthurt about you talking about their little crew. You know what I'm saying? So you got the, he can't really take this personal, you know what I mean? Yeah, Cino said the super chat not working. Nah, man, this channel is not monetized, bro.
But whatever rituals your neighbor is doing to your wife is not my business. But when we have these grander news stories that don't make any sense whatsoever, but in big bold titles on these news stories, we constantly are flooded with the 33 calling card, then we can connect it right back to a certain organization that considers themselves the architects of this world, where their highest number is 33. This becomes a bigger problem because they're showing us that these are scripted events. So this brings my attention to the number 88 and August 8th, because for whatever reason, we are seeing the number 88 pop up quite often lately. For example, we had Pope Francis passing away at 88, and on that exact same day, we had Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum chairman, saying he's stepping down from the World Economic Forum in his 88th year. There are many other examples of the number 88 appearing in big news, like, for example, the 8.8 magnitude earthquake that happened near Russia. But what really caught my attention about this whole Lionsgate portal and August 8th was this news right here. Trump wants to end Russia's war in Ukraine by August 8th. What is so important about August 8th, besides a day that's known for rituals, manifestation, and controlling your own destiny? The article goes on to say, and I'm reading this from Reuters, United States President Donald Trump has made clear that he wants a deal to end Russia's war in Ukraine by August 8th, the United States told the United Nations Security Council on Thursday. Both Russia and Ukraine must negotiate a ceasefire and durable peace. It is time to make a deal. President Trump has made clear this must be done by August 8th.
So they planning on stopping the war by tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? They got to come up with a decision. See what I'm saying? Everything is ritualistic. You know what I'm saying? Every single thing is ritualistic. All of these numbers play as prime. They play a prime factor.
But this isn't the only other news story that involves Trump and the number 88. For example, this news story right here that was published on June 18th, Trump installs a pair of 88-foot-tall new flagpoles at the White House. The placement of the two 88-foot-tall flagpoles, one on the North Lawn and one on the South Lawn, began early in the morning of June 18th. But here's the thing, when it comes to August 8th, what they're telling us is a ritualistic day, we're not going to see anything along the lines of chaos, explosions, or a very big news story, but we're going to go ahead and see something along the lines of, again, what we saw with the April 8th solar eclipse, where it was just one giant ritual. We had CERN out there firing off the Large Hadron Collider looking for dark matter, and at the same exact time, NASA's firing off three rockets called the Devil. Peter Higgs, who the God Particle is named after, just happened to pass away, and this would be the very first time we would see these black flying things in the skies above Texas.
Crazy.
And then the very next day we have the Bovey Island anomaly. Then a couple days prior to the April 8th solar eclipse, 4/8, there is a 4.8 magnitude earthquake in New York, which kind of mirrors this 8.8 magnitude earthquake that happened only a couple weeks before August 8th. So I think we're coming up to another ritualistic shift that will have ramifications for some time. We have all these news articles and people all...
Y'all want to know what that whole 88 is? Connects to the Ouroboros, the infinity serpent. You gotta understand, these people, they know what they doing. The Ouroboros, which is the snake eating its tail, represents the number 8. You get what I'm saying? And they use these two because they know the polarity between good and evil. They understand this. You know what I mean? They definitely understand this.
Over social media, telling people to manifest, to now is the time to summon things over, talking about entities and so forth. The number 88, August 8th, is also a Sirius ritual as well. Reading this right here, 88 in numerology represents infinity and DNA activation, allowing us to take this Sirius energy and infuse it into the very core of our being. Why is it called the Lion's Gate? The rising of Sirius, which ancient astrologers celebrated as the rebirth of spirit, happens to occur right in the heart of Leo season, which is ruled by the lion. Which is kind of interesting given the fact that the new pope calls himself Leo after Leo the Lion.
What?
So again, it feels like we are going to be entering into one giant ritual, but this video from the Fittest Flat Earther is very eye-opening when it comes to the number 88. And like I said, a lot of people feel a certain way about this guy because of his certain beliefs or what he chooses to name himself, but his beliefs are his own. But this video is a good one.
What could the Simpsons, Mountain Dew, Hulk Hogan, and Aaron Rodgers all have to do with each other? Stick around. You'll find out. You see, something I've become quite adept at is pattern recognition and truth in plain sight. In the past few weeks, I couldn't help but notice a specific pattern developing. It actually started when I watched the Aaron Rodgers documentary and how he switched to number 8. And hey, that's a funny hand symbol. I wonder what that means. Not only did he switch to number 8, but he also got an 8 or infinity looking tattoo. So 8 and 8. But it didn't stop there because he was also wearing an H and H hat. And H is the 8th letter of the alphabet. So again, 8 and 8. It wasn't just one hat, it was multiple, H and H.
See?
And while harder to see, again, H and H. And not too long after I watched that documentary on Aaron Rodgers and all his 8 and 8 and H and H, Hulk Hogan passed away. And well, again, H and H, or 8 and 8, 8th letter of the alphabet.
See?
And shortly after that, did you hear about the earthquake off the coast of Russia that was an 8.8 on the Richter scale? And very shortly after that, I saw a picture from space, from the Hubble Space Telescope, from 8,000 light years away. That, again, just happened to look like an 8, so 8 and 8,000. Are they trying to tell us something? And on the very 1st of August, 88 energy updates on the Small Holdings facility. Big news. 88 again. But there's more. Did you know that Trump had 88 criminal charges against him? And during the campaign, when you were supposed to text to support him, 88.
Just to interject here really quick when it comes to Donald Trump,
crazy.
The Mar-a-Lago FBI raid also took place on August 8th.
And this is where things take an interesting turn, so stay with me for a second. I'm a fitness enthusiast, and I enjoy watching the CrossFit games. And as I was watching them, and I have all these eights hitting me in the back of the head the past couple weeks, I think to myself, I know that there are some people connected at the top of the CrossFit games who are Masons, Freemasons. So I decide to look to see what the eighth event is of the CrossFit games this year. And well, the 8th happened to be called the Going Dark. And that made me think of all the past few years of people talking about how there's a blackout coming. And it made me think of the Mountain Dew cans that have all the predictive programming like Maui Burst. And just look into the predictive programming of Mountain Dew. But this one in particular, Mountain Dew Pitch Black. And well, that's not it with Mountain Dew. Because Mountain Dew seems to like the number 88 as well. And well, predictive programming made me think of The Simpsons. And the 88th episode of The Simpsons just happened to deal with some rioting. And I couldn't help but notice that the movie Blackout just happened to come out in 1988. And that the Cubs just magically got lights for the first time on August 8th, 1988. Now, could all these eights be a coincidence? I don't think so. Especially not when he holds up that symbol and he mocks the only people in the world that truly know what is going on and where they live, and just happened to change his number and get a tattoo and wear a bunch of H's on his hat the year his documentary comes out, along with all the other nonsense. And I mean nonsense. Do you think that's real? You really think that's real? And you really think it was that exact number? Now, I'm not a fear guy whatsoever. But I wouldn't be surprised if on August 8th this year, or another one not too far down the line, had a little bit of darkness, if you get what I'm saying. Pitch black, maybe, in fact. But of course, all this for entertainment purposes. I'm sure that all those 8s and H's were all just a coincidence. And my mind just sees patterns that aren't really there. That's all it is. This is all for your entertainment. I wouldn't worry about it. Oh, but seriously, I wouldn't worry about it, because the only thing to fear is fear itself. We're spiritual beings and just here for an experience, and everything's going to be all right. I promise.
So we have a lot of people out there using 8-8, the Lionsgate portal, for their own self-health, meditations, and so forth, manifestations. But at the same time, we have news and media really pushing this, and we know who the news and media are owned and operated by. You're giving your energies, and at the same time, the so-called powers that be are also using this specific date. Just like with the April 8th solar eclipse, how there was suspiciously a lot of articles out there and people on social media telling you to give your energies during this solar eclipse to make yourself open for spiritual manifestation. This next set of videos comes from Montana Jackson, and she believes she found a very interesting shop on TikTok that is very similar to the whole Wayfair situation and human trafficking.
I just found some suspicious stuff on TikTok shop. So I was scrolling through my regular feed and came across this. Notice the price tag. Clicked on the shop. Heaven's Child, $7,600 for a t-shirt, a cotton t-shirt that's got Jesus stuff on it, which is fine. Heaven's Child. That's, yeah, better be.
So they back doing that again, y'all. They back doing that again, putting people through these apps and stuff. You know what I'm saying? And look at the place where it's coming from. Look where it's coming from. Illinois. Man, look, I was watching this video maybe a couple months ago, right? And they said that Illinois is one of the very few states that are involved in human trafficking. And I didn't know this. Illinois is one of the few states. I think it's, I want to say it's either the first state is like Alabama, somewhere like that, but Illinois is on that list. You know what I'm saying?
Very high quality print. My gosh, $7,600. There's only two things listed. And this Selling one comes people. With different sizes, but they don't provide a sizing chart. Really long delivery.
They either selling people or organs. That's what I'm going off of. They either selling people or organs.
Time to. Machine washable cold wash. I don't think this is an actual t-shirt. I think Heaven's Child is selling children. I don't know. Somebody needs to investigate this. This is insane. $7,600
Did you hear about the lady that went into surgery today? She went into surgery, right? And woke up mid-surgery. They was taking out her organs. She couldn't even talk. They tried to take out her organs mid-surgery. She went to get some type of surgery on her body. And she woke up. The anesthesia wore off. And she woke up and realized they was taking out her organs. Y'all got to be careful out there, man. Y'all got to be very careful out there, man. You know what I'm saying? Y'all got to be very careful out there.
TikTok shop. I just got cut off. In summary, I need y'all to share this video so that it can get out to people to investigate of what's going on, because I don't know what to do here other than to get the word out of what's going on. I'm really concerned. There's human trafficking going on. I remember this happened in Wayfair a couple years ago where they were like selling random items for thousands of dollars and it ended up being human trafficking. I don't know if that's going on, but I'm concerned that it is. I need TikTok to do its thing. I need y'all to help TikTok do its thing. Share this video, get it out to people that can investigate this, please.
Y'all, TikTok doesn't want me talking about this. They keep silencing my videos so you can't hear me whatsoever.
Yeah, they don't want the truth out.
A little shady there, TikTok. Why are you trying to protect them? So, back on this Heaven's Child that has no picture, no background, nothing, only selling two t-shirts for $7,600. Yeah, we're gonna talk about it. 157 people have put this in their carts. Why do you have this in your carts?
Oh, y'all don't believe me with that story? Let me show y'all real quick before we finish that video. Look at this. Watch. The lady went in for a surgery, son, and woke up midway. I want to play the news clip. Let me see if they got a news clip on it. They probably don't. They ain't going to talk about that. Danielle. Daniela Galigos. Let me see if they got it. No, they ain't. They ain't talking about that on the news. But let me see if I type it in. Yeah, here you go. Let's read it. Let's read it real quick. Hope it don't show no ads. Comatose woman woke before organ harvesting surgery, but docs operated anyway. See what I'm saying? Daniela Galigos, who was 38 at the time, was moments away from having her organs removed when doctors in New Mexico made the life-saving decision to abandon the procedure when they saw her blinking. An organ donation operation pushed for the removal of a comatose woman's body parts after she showed signs of life, medics claim. Daniela Galigos was homeless when she suffered an unspecified medical emergency that left her in a coma at Presbyterian Hospital in Abilene. See, they gonna do this type of stuff with people that don't have nowhere to live. You see what I'm saying? They know your family ain't gonna check up on you. You know what I'm saying? They know you ain't gonna. They ain't gonna care if you go missing and all of that stuff. This is what I'm talking about. Mike Tyson did an interview with Joe Rogan, and they talked about how these rich, powerful people in places like Bohemian Grove actually go and hunt people. He said they don't get just regular, random, working, everyday class citizens. They go and pick up people off the street, and they blindfold them and set them down in the woods, and they go hunt these people. And then what happens is once they hunt them, they do whatever they want to do with their body parts, man. You know what I'm saying? No, said 38, murder by numbers. See what I'm saying? You gotta be very careful out here, man. These people do not care. Let's get back to the video, though, yo. You know what I'm saying? Let's get back to the video, man. Rest in peace to her, man. I don't know if she's dead or not, but rest in peace. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy.
Why is there so many people putting this in your carts? There's other ways to, like, save something, but they have this one in their carts, and nobody's doing this one. Hold up. Okay, so... I was like, maybe, let's do a little investigating. Maybe the t-shirts like look like this are $7,600. similar products right in the TikTok shop. $1, $14, $11, $4, $5. Not 7,600. Let's check out the other one. Maybe they're justified. Let's click on the similar products page that's in the shop. The exact same t-shirt, $4, $3. This is not a mistake. This is in TikTok shop. Peep the red shoes right here.
Mm-hmm.
I can't talk about the theory on TikTok because I'll definitely get this removed and they're already trying to silence me. Look up the red shoe theory. It's directly related to what I think the shop is actually selling, because it's certainly not these t-shirts. And I was like, let's message the shop. Got the bot to talk to me. I was like, what size products do you have? And they were telling me, and I was like, do you have a sizing chart? And they just sent me the basic one that TikTok provides everybody. Then I got real. I was like, why is your product so expensive? Hold on. As soon as I said, why is your product so expensive? I'm sorry, I don't know how to answer that, but I'm always learning. I'll connect you with a human agent right away, right? Then I get this lovely little message, hang tight, we're connecting you. Never got connected. I waited an entire day before I messaged back again, and I messaged, have you sold any of this item? Because that's something that...
Queen Lolita, you forgot? I'm the one that told y'all about that movie. I'm the one that told y'all to watch that nonsense. I'm not watching that movie again. That movie traumatized me. You can't understand what they're saying, but it's just disgusting. Why would anybody want to watch something like that? Like, no, that's something you just, yeah, you watch, you see what they got going on and you skim through it and turn it off. It is, no. I'm the one that informed people to watch that movie back in the day. It's disgusting. You know what I'm saying? It's disgusting, man.
I would like to know, have you sold any? How long have you been a store? Because I only saw them the other day, and they've been up there for the entire time that I've been talking about this. TikTok has not taken them down. Still no reply.
Crazy.
So then I messaged them again. Back. Nothing. Nobody's talking to me. But if you look right up here, typically responds within an hour. How?
Big Sir said, I believe it because every new season, there's a new batch of homeless living on the streets here in San Diego. The ones there previously are all gone. All can't be dying off of a drug overdose. That's what I'm saying. They're not housing everybody that's homeless. They can't be. You get what I'm saying? A lot of people have mental issues. They're not mentally there. So, you know, most people choose to be homeless. Now, if you know somebody has a mental disability or if they strung out, they know that, you know, your family ain't going to look for you. Oh, what happened to your son or your daughter? Oh, they just went out on the street, whatever, living their life. And nobody's going to really look for them. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's going to look for them. This world is crazy, son. This world is crazy. Anthony Sutton, what's popping, my G? He said, I got to be spiritually and mentally prepared to watch that movie. Not even, bro. Don't even waste your time. Trust me. If you could sit through that movie fully, something is wrong with you. I'm just going to be honest with you. You need to be checked into a mental institution. If you could sit through that and watch them children get tormented, like, who would watch that? Like, literally, who would watch stuff like, if you watch that movie all the way through, you're sick. You're definitely sick. Something is wrong. Because I couldn't sit there and watch children get abused and all of that stuff. Nah, son. I'm good.
Are they talking about just the bot that responds? Because there's no person talking to me. They don't want to answer my questions. There's a lot of really good theories in the comments of my first video about this. But I think everyone can agree this is fishy. If it was just a conversion issue of currency, why are they not messaging me back?
If it was
just, maybe that's the quality of a t-shirt that it is. Why is the similar products button directly in the TikTok shop? Show me $1, $11, like a normal t-shirt price. This is not a normal t-shirt price. Something is going on. And I need y'all's comments to tell me theories, who to talk to, because TikTok shop does not let you report people. They don't let you report shops. They just share it. And I don't want to share it. This is the opposite of what I want to do. I want somebody to investigate this. So y'all comment tag people, share this so it gets to people that they can see what's going on so that we can try and get to the bottom of this. We definitely got more than we had in our first video, so it's working. We're getting better theories, getting more investigative. So keep it going. Let's get to the bottom of what is going on here.
So she has one.
I saw her throw up that devil horn sign too at the end. I saw that.
Final update, the shop owner eventually reached out to her and they said this, but something about this still feels very off.
So I have the best possible update that could have come from this situation. Just wait. Guys, because of these videos, we were able to get in touch with this shop's owner, the actual owner. I've got the messages going behind me if you want to read them. She reached out and was saying that she lost access to the account for that shop. And I said, okay, a little bit skeptical of whether or not it actually was the owner. She said she was going to reach out to TikTok and find out if she can get access back. And she actually did. She let me know that she was able to change the prices, showing that she was actually the owner of the account and had gotten access back to her account, which is amazing. This is just a reminder to all shop owners. If you start an account with a business, whether that's TikTok shop, Instagram, start your own website, if you lose access to that site, you need to do everything that you can to get access back because you don't know who's taking over your stuff. And she's right. Her name was attached to this. Her family members were.
Yeah, they got her. They got to this girl. They got to this girl. They made her change her whole story up. See what I'm saying? You go and mess around with them people if you want. She done changed her whole story up. She went from exposing them to saying, oh no, it was just a mistake, y'all. I talked to the owner, y'all. She made a mistake, y'all. She got a phone call. That's what happened. She got a phone call from somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Pictured in the photos. You guys have an internet footprint that you leave behind, and you need to make sure that you clean it up behind yourself. Just because you're not doing something nefarious with your shop, if you lose access, you don't know what that next person's going to do. Do what you can to get it back as quickly as you can. Keep people from slandering your name and using it for God knows what.
Yeah, Jordan Williams. Yup. You know what's up. Exactly, Jordan Williams. You know exactly what's up. You know exactly what's up. Yeah. Jay Falconer said they paged her. Either they paged her or paid her. Something. Because how you just go from exposing, you know, you went into the whole conspiracy of the red shoes and all of that and talking about, you know, this what they be doing, to now talking about, I messaged the owner of the shop and it was a mistake. Sorry, guys. Didn't mean it. This will never happen again. See what I'm saying? They always tell on theyself. They always tell on theyself. One thing about me, man, the truth is always going to be with me. I don't care. I'm not trying to get no check from no government from these people. I don't care. You know what I'm saying?
I'm so glad that this video was able to make it to her. And as she said, if she hadn't seen the video, she wouldn't have ever known. I'm glad that this got to the
right. And apparently she was messaging her through her cell phone. You felt comfortable enough to give her your cell phone number? Yeah, you being spied on. That wasn't smart. That wasn't smart. That was not smart. No. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? You gave her your phone number, silly goose.
Right, people. This is why I posted on TikTok, to try and get to the bottom of things, because TikTok is amazing at getting to the right people that it needs to get to. This is by far the best ending. This is exactly what I was hoping for, that there wasn't anything actually going on, and we found the shop owner and got to the bottom of it. Now, there's a bunch of other shops that I think we need to do the same for. So I have the best possible update that could have come from this situation. Just wait.
I don't know, something about this is still very weird. I mean, the shop owner just realized she lost access to her store after she's put on the spot when it comes to these high prices. Nothing to see here. I'll just go ahead and adjust the prices back to normal. I mean, $80 for a shirt is pretty high, but I mean, I've seen higher, but still, $7,000.
Nothing to see here, folks. Nothing to see here, folks. Just a simple mistake. Let me read some people in the comments, man. Queen Lolita said, I think you get taken to the mind eraser clinic. Yeah, I don't know. When it comes to stuff like that, I just know, like, Some of these people get paid off, you know what I'm saying? Especially when it comes to exposing certain stuff, man. You know, because it would be too obvious if old girl exposed all of that information and then she just came up missing, especially getting views, people would instantly be like, well, she started exposing this thing last. Maybe they got something to do with it. And most of the time, these companies, they don't want that type of heat. You know what I'm saying? They don't want that type of heat. You know what I mean? Anthony Sutton says she's scared to question. She's scared to question. She shook. Ain't no such thing as halfway truth. Oh no, she changed her whole story, son. She went from tinfoil hat to simple mistake, guys. Sorry. she was. I don't know what that was about. Like you, what? I don't know, man. Big Sir said the Beatles' famous photo of them walking across the street, Abbey Road, was taken 8/8/1969. See, I ain't know that. Jay was popping. He said, no such thing as a coincidence. They all coincide. Psh, tell me about it. Tell me about it. And here's the thing, right? If she hadn't have said nothing or caught that, that stuff probably would have still been going on. You know what I'm saying? Now, there were speculations way back a couple years ago that companies like Wayfair, Etsy, you know what I'm saying? They was involved in a lot of that stuff. Had pictures of pizzas and stuff like that. Selling pictures of pizzas for 10 grand, 20 grand. You know what I'm saying? Talking pictures of hot dogs for 20 grand, 15,000. You know what I'm saying? And people were buying these things. This is where that whole thought process came into play. I don't know how people found it out, but they was 10 steps ahead of the game. Hook was popping, man. He said, now y'all make me want to watch the movie. Don't watch that, man. You know what I'm saying? You got to be a sick person to watch that. Especially watching that while you eat. Like, go ahead and watch it. I dare you to. And then report back and be like, yo, son, I watched that movie. I couldn't sit through 5 minutes of it. I'm just not into that. I don't want to see little kids naked and stuff. I'm good on that, son. All right, y'all. I talked long enough, man. I wanted to give y'all two lives today. You know what I'm saying? Appreciate everybody in attendance. Everybody that hit the like button. You know what I'm saying? This live was way more deeper. You know what I mean? But like I said, you know, this we going to be more free over here. Salute to everybody. My man BP for showing love to the channel. Hold on. Who my other dude at? My man BP. That was the only person. Salute BP, man. You the only person that showed love. Appreciate you, dog. Yeah, man. Jordan Williams said, guard your eyes, gates. Guard your eye, gates. Don't watch evil-ish. Yeah, that's a fact. You know what I'm saying? You gonna watch that type of stuff to, you know, bring that into your conscience, man. Mimi, what's poppin'? She said, I ain't watching that disturbing movie. I don't blame you. That's why I said people gotta chill with all of that, man. Salute Mar R. Kyoko, Queen Lolita, Jude Allen, what's poppin', man? Jay Falcon, the X Foundation, Jay. Anthony Sutton, Jordan Williams, Mimi, what's poppin'? Big Sir in the check-in. DJ Rel, what's poppin', man? C-Note in the building, Derek Brown. Soul Tone Def. Maya Yasharala in the building, Jordan Williams. All right, y'all, I Make Trap Beats. What's poppin'? He in the building. Salute, I Make Trap Beats. He said, all that is planned and calculated. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's another thing about that, too, man. All right, y'all. Salute, Mar. Salute. All right, y'all. I'm off this, man. Salute to everybody that catch the replay. Like I said, I'm going to drop some videos for y'all tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? I got some content to give y'all tomorrow, man. I appreciate everybody in attendance. Peace and blessings. Stay safe out there. Like I said, guard your energy tomorrow, y'all. Tomorrow's 88. I don't know what that means, but just, you know, stay safe out there, y'all. Peace and blessings.